Hi. Some of you might not know me. I'm Christina Sovereign. I just completed Discipleship 2, and I registered for Discipleship 3. So I hope that you'll join us in the future. The first reading from the New Testament is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The second reading comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead.
Good morning. I'm Don Burgard, and I was the convener of Disciple One, which was a joy for me always. And I must say that the convener for Disciple Two was Eric Sayer, and he used a very poor excuse not to be here this morning. He has COVID, and so he's isolated. But we miss Eric and appreciate his leadership as well. Just a word about disciple and what it means. Disciple Bible study was developed about 40 years ago, and it is a program of Bible study in four parts, you might say. Disciple 1 is a kind of a survey of the entire Bible, and that was the one that I led this past year. Disciple 2 is a study a little more specifically of Genesis and Exodus, and then in the Christian scriptures, Luke and Acts. Disciple 3 is a study of the prophets and the letters of Paul. And Disciple 4 is a study of the writings. That's like Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and some of those that are sometimes a little lesser known, along with the Gospel of John and Revelation. So those four series help you get into the depth of the disciple program, and also to do some other things. I think, just very quickly, I would say there are a lot of reasons to do disciple, but there are three that come to my mind rather quickly. One is for knowledge, but not just knowledge to know a little more about the Bible, but also knowledge for discipleship. That's the name of the program in the first place. The second is, and this was stated in the little video that we saw about connection. I used the term community. We begin to know community a little more specifically as we, over the period of the months that we meet together, people become closer, trust level develops, and we really begin to see what it's like to be a part of a group that trusts one another, that prays for one another, that shares with one another in a kind of an open way. And that's great. And the last thing I would say is that discipleship is a discipline. Life can sometimes get ahead of us or away from us, and we just can't find time to do what we think we need to do to kind of bring us closer to God. So discipleship is a good discipline because it's a daily kind of thing. We're going to listen now to five of the members of the Disciple 1 and 2 class, and they are going to share some of their witness. So give them your attention now.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. My name is Pamela Velez Vega, and I am a proud Disciple 1 alumna under Don Bergar's instruction. Please raise your hand if you have ever felt lonely and needing to reconnect with God. That was me a year ago. I had been looking for a spiritual home for me and my family for several years. I learned about Glenmar from a neighbor that told us about your beautiful journey to Bethlehem. So in September 2021, I started attending Glenmar with my children, Bia and Mateo, and my husband, David. They are there in the back. Say hi, guys. As soon as we started coming, I signed up for Disciple 1 for two reasons. First, I thought reading the Bible in a small, structured way would help me reconnect with the Lord. And second, I really wanted to get to know some of you at Glenmar. After a year of Disciple 1, I can tell you, Disciple 1 met fully my expectations and much more. First of all, I loved reconnecting with all Bible passages I had read in my youth. I felt my faith grow stronger, and I was closer to the Lord like in my childhood days. Second, I became very fond of my Disciple 1 mates. I learned so much from each one of them. I learned humility and grace from Don. He taught me that we're all in a continuum of learning, and that even he was learning in Disciple 1. Joanne and Mary taught me about creating a sense of community. Joanne took me under her wing and introduced me to her friends at Glenmar. And Mary's calm and friendly demeanor made me feel welcome. Last but not least, Brian and Mary Ellen, you taught me about trusting God and that faith without deeds is dead. So, if you're new to Glenmar or you've been here for a while, I invite you to join one of our groups offered this fall. It will give you the opportunity to get closer to the Lord and make friends with your Glenmar community. Thank you.
First, I want to say thank you to all the troops who took out the terrorists from the 9/11 attacks, and remember the victims in New York City with a moment of silence. Thank you. My father was from Brooklyn, and my family live in New York. We made several trips to New York City when I was a young urban planner at University of Maryland, so I have a connection to the World Trade Centers that go back to my student days. I am Donald Joseph Gray Shirella. I have two doctorates in MIS and higher education leadership. My dissertation was on NSA cybersecurity leadership and presidential leadership traits. I am married to Mimi Fox with four great children and seven grandchildren. I worked for the Navy, GSA, and SHA for 39 years. I've been here at Glenmar since 2003. Before that, I was married into United Methodism by Reverend Lewis Shockley at Union United Methodist in Upper Marlboro in 1979. My grandfather Gray, who was Presbyterian, and my father-in-law, Dave Fox, were strong Masons. My father was Catholic and an Air Force Senior Master Sergeant with Air Force One. I joined the Masons Lodge in 2010 after my first grandson was born. As treasurer of Waverly Lodge 152, I have sent donations to high school scholarships and the Elkridge Food Bank. Here at Glenmar, I've been active in United Methodist Men, Finance, and now Trustees. I also participate in the St. Andrew's Potato Project and Elk Ridge Food Bank. My family attended Cheltenham United Methodist, Savage United Methodist, Historic Fort Meade Chapel, and St. John's United Methodist in Wild Lake before we came here. I came to Glenmark, and I liked Andy Lunt and John Knupp, and my kids were at Howard High School. Andy had a similar military experience to mine at the Naval Academy, and I had a change of heart at Air Force and decided I did not want to kill from the skies as a B-52 navigator. I am, as my mother said, a perpetual student with 7 college degrees and all the Masonic degrees possible. I bonded with John Knupp in Disciple 1 class, which covered the entire Bible. It was long, but he got us through it, and at the end he took us to the Franciscan Monastery, which was really beautiful. If you've never been there, you should go look at it. I'm a student of Jewish history through my Masonic studies. Eric Sayers taught Disciple 1 with great knowledge. He should actually be clergy. He really has that deep a knowledge of the Bible and the history of the Jewish nation. If you want to know more about Scripture and Disciple Bible study, Disciple Bible study is the place to be. The course is formatted with a video and experts and readings every week. Sometimes you read ahead, sometimes you just discuss in class. All the time you learn more about the Bible stories that you learned when you were a child. We covered Genesis, Exodus, Luke, and Acts in great detail. We had some lively discussions, and I learned a lot from the people in the class and made some new friends. We had our questions answered. We prayed for insight and got it. By the end of the class, we all had new friends, and we were enjoying fellowship. I look forward to the next Disciple 3 class. This is my way to go deeper in faith. I never wanted to be a pastor, but now I have the knowledge. I need to be a good follower of Jesus. I have been thankful to Disciple Bible Study in the United Methodist Church attitudes towards layman learning. This has been as good as a college degree in religion. John Wesley would be proud of us. I also enjoyed studying John Wesley in the sermons. I am grateful to Glenmar for the opportunity to learn more. Let us pray for open minds and open hearts.
Good morning, Glenmar. My name is Laura King, and I just finished Disciple 2. You've met some of my classmates this morning. So I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about why I decided to take Disciple and what it's meant to me. I was very blessed to grow up in a active Methodist family, and so I was always at church. And some things came naturally to me, like I loved singing and being part of music ministry and doing any sort of mission thing. But studying the Bible is kind of hard, especially the Old Testament. Like, I'd read it, and it didn't make any sense. So I'd grown up, and some of my parents and some of the other members of my church did Disciple when I was in high school, and I was like, those are the people I want to be like when I grow up. So 2 years ago, when they decided to offer Disciple 1, I was like, well, Laura, I think you're grown up now, so this is your chance to do that thing that you always said you wanted to do. And I have to tell you, it has been such a blessing to go through first the entire Bible and then more specific parts of it with such a wonderful group of people. Don and Eric are just amazing teachers. They really facilitate like discussion in the class, and that has been just so helpful to talk through all of these things with other people who were all at different points in our faith journey. And so being able to deepen my understanding of Scripture has really helped to deepen my faith, and I feel like I've been able to grow in my spiritual journey. And that's one reason I'm up here talking, is because once you start getting deeper in it, it's harder to say no when Eric asks you to do something. But also, it's been really great in being able to grow my connections within the church and extending my community. I already had friends from music ministry and friends from Habitat and other missions, but I've gotten to know so many people from so other different services that I never had a chance to interact with before. So I just know that many more people that when I see them, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. And I don't know, maybe that's not what everybody wants when they come in on Sunday morning, but for me, I find that exciting. Just to be really quick and sum it up shortly, Disciple is a really great experience, or any other small group, if you really just kind of want to deepen your knowledge, deepen your faith, and maybe make some additional friends and join new parts of the community. So.
Good morning. I'm Amanda Thomas, and in my disciple classes, I learned that the Bible is full of dramatic call stories. Moses experiences God as a burning bush, and when asked by God to lead his people, said he was slow of speech and slow of tongue, and to please send someone else. There's nothing like being so nervous you can't do a good job for the Lord that you tell God what to do. Jeremiah begins by saying he is only a boy. God being God, there is already an awareness of Jeremiah's age. And then, of course, there's Jonah, told by God to go at once to Nineveh. But instead, he flees on a ship in the opposite direction, away from the presence of the Lord. It's pretty hard to get away from the presence of the Lord, and it's not going well when you end up in the belly of a large fish for 3 days and then get spewed out onto dry land. And by the way, he ends up in Nineveh doing what God asked anyway. My own experience of a call from God has been much more subtle. In fact, it reminds me of something my dad used to say to my clumsy self when I was a young child and would trip and run into things. I still actually do trip and run into things, but anyway, my earthly father would say, "Honey, pay attention. Pay attention." I believe my heavenly father is also often saying to me, "Pay attention." That small nudging voice in my head is likely the Lord calling me to a specific task. Maybe I should say something supportive to that person that I know is experiencing grief. But I don't know that it is helpful, or if they have even heard me until they tell me 2 years later. Maybe I should ask Margaret or Lynn if they need help with Walk to Bethlehem. What, be a guide, memorize a 7-page script, and be sure to not forget a single piece of it? Okay, but it turns out to be a blast, with the slight exception of those evenings below 30 degrees. Maybe ask about where your gifts should be used and end up in Stephen Ministry, where what you receive is 10 times what you give. Maybe encourage your reluctant child to go to youth group, which turns out to be her happiest place during high school. And wouldn't you know, she turns out to be a pastor herself. Receiving a call can be as big as encountering a burning bush or as small as a tiny voice in your head, encouraging you to check out Disciple Bible Study. Your first response may be like Moses. Maybe God means someone else. Or like Jeremiah. God must mean later because I'm not ready right now. Or like Jonah, God has got to be kidding. God is not talking to someone else or talking to you at the wrong age. And above all, God is not kidding around. God is talking to you today, and responding to a call from the Lord reaps goodness that cannot be measured. Amen.
Hello, my name is Brian Conley, and I'm a graduate of Disciple One for the second time. I took it back in the 80s, but it certainly has a different reflection as we took it again just recently. And kudos and thanks to Don, our fearless leader, that answered a lot of my questions. I am an engineer by trade, and I think out of the box. Can be one of my faults. It's also one of my pleasures in being able to solve some very unique challenges. But when we were asked to speak, one of the things they said, how do you answer the call, and the call to disciple? And that got me thinking. The irony of today, 9/11, was a call for a lot of people, but it was mostly from a fear-based scenario. And I thank you, Don, for giving a moment of silence for those that lost, those souls that left this earth that day. But that was mostly a call to church for fear. It was a call to a bunch of other calls for people to come back to church. And there was a real big insurgence from that event. But this call that we're actually talking about is something that's slightly different. So what does it mean to be a disciple? And that's what I started to think about. I mean, Jesus came by, got 12 people together. They're fishermen, they're tax collectors. They're all these different tradesmen. And he said, come on, let's go. Drop whatever you're doing. Forget about your life's work. Forget about what you're doing and follow me. So just take that and imagine if somebody comes through your office while you're busy at work doing what you need to do and says, stop what you're doing, leave everything you have, and follow me. What kind of a call would that be to you? Unbelievably, these people went. They left everything, their life, what they did, how they made their money, how they did their provisions. So now to step up the game, after they've called those people, in Luke 9 that we heard Don read, you have the Great Commission of those 12 people. So they were given the power and authority to drive out demons, heal the sick. But most importantly, if you remember what the verse said, the most important was to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Then he said something that really touched my heart. Take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt or tunic. Why was that? They've left everything behind, and they're told when they're commissioned to go out in the world and serve as a disciple, healing the sick, casting out demons, they're to bring nothing with them, not even weapons, not even to protect themselves. And so to me, it meant not only that disciples need to make a huge blind commitment, but they're bringing nothing but themselves and revealing that God would provide for everything they were to accomplish. Now that to me is truly a scary thought. Even with all the security of knowing that you can cast out demons, heal the sick, disciples bickered, they argued, they got things wrong, they didn't get the messages that Jesus was telling them and it revealed the differing opinions that worked together as a collective group. They were unprepared. They did not go to a disciple Bible study to say, you need to be in training in the synagogue before you actually follow Jesus. They all knew about the Bible, but they weren't necessarily trained to be a disciple or to be someone of the Bible. And so they were just called unprepared where they were. And that just amazes me. So what does that have to do with disciple Bible study and the call? So look around. Just look around the audience, congregation, whoever's next to you. Does everyone in this same, in the congregation, have the same theology that you do? The same thoughts about God? You read a story, do they have the same interpretation of the story they've read? The answer is most likely no. So that should get you just wondering a little bit. So disciple studies is the same way today. In disciple, we're making a commitment, combining our thoughts, ideas, theology, and passions together with others, ultimately revealing God's provisions for the group and fellowship with others you previously didn't know. They're bringing their ideas. All the disciples had their own ideas of what they thought was theology. They often would get it wrong. But collectively, they were to glorify the kingdom of God. So, disciple studies also, and I know there may be some fears out there, they don't tell you how to think or force a theology on you. Don, I would challenge Don all the time, and he's like, well, you know, we're going to have to figure that out later. We don't always know. But it's not to tell you what to think. It's to help you understand some of the concepts, the construction of the Bible, the various stories, those types of things, and help you discern where you want to be and how you want to approach these things that we learn from the Bible. They are at their core a method to reveal your thoughts, feelings, and relations to help you define or even refine your faith. So I said I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. And so I challenged myself when I was doing Disciple 1 to think outside the box. Now, what does that mean, thinking outside the box? You know, you read the Bible. But there's different subject matters and points out the different challenges that I brought up to the group. And sometimes they would roll their eyes. Other times they would like, you know, wait a minute, that might be something. So when we're thinking about the construction of the ark, I'll just give you a few examples. The Ark of the Covenant. They're instructed for the craftsmen to create images of cherubim, angel-like beings. There was no instruction on what that looked like. They were just instructed. How did they know what they looked like? To be able to construct it. So that was, you know, those are kinds of out-of-the-box thinking that I did. Then how many times did God, through man, actually part the waters? We heard Moses in the Red Sea. There's Joshua as well. And there's several others that actually parted waters from using powers from God to do that. It was a revelation for me that there were more people able to do that major thing. Interesting note, the ones that could part waters would also run from people who were upset at them and didn't want to have to deal with the conflict of somebody that might be there. And I would think if you had the power to part waters, you'd have the power to do just about anything you'd want to do, but they still ran in fear, which means they're human and having to deal with those issues. A couple more. How many animals did Noah actually bring on the ark? We hear two by two. But there's a lot more animals that were on the ark than just the two animals at a time. And the other one that really got me, and this got us a lot of debate, is the sinner's prayer the only way to become a Christian? Is your faith, your belief in Christ, a sinner's prayer? What brings you to that ability to say, we are and believe in Jesus Christ? So these all present various levels of discussion and awe as you discuss various opinions and grow as a group and a family and, dare I say, a disciple. So take the leap, answer the call, and begin an unprepared journey to discover and reveal what God through a bunch of different viewpoints has to reveal to you. Thank you very much.